On this fourth Sunday of Advent, on this Sunday when we lift up the ethic of love, you might think of Mary and the baby she is about to bear, the love that she has. You might think of someone's hand you've held and someone you love. You might think of love for country. There are all kinds of love. Or it may be the biblical writ that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. But when I sat to work on this sermon, unbidden, my thoughts went back to a moment that I've not thought of for decades. It was the love of learning poetry. And when I was in seventh grade, I had my first oratorical presentation. I know. But the piece that I was given to learn changed my life. I don't know if Mr. Sarkisian knew that I was a Christian, but he gave me a piece of poetry entitled The Creation, written 91 years ago by James Weldon Johnson, collected in a collection of his poetry called God's Trombones. This orator, this academician, this ambassador, this songwriter and poetry writer wrote these words. It's in the middle of your bulletin. And this morning when I think of love, I think of love poured out by God into all of creation. And I found a recording, so you didn't have to listen to me. Found a recording by the gospel artist Whitley Phipps. Hear now, love poured out into creation. James Weldon Johnson.
God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights, down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled and the light broke and the darkness rolled up on one side. And the light stood shining on the other and God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world, and God said, that's good. And God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet, and God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea and God smiled again. And the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, bring forth. And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam. The rivers and the seas roamed the forest and the woods and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. Then God walked around and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun. He looked at his moon. And he looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things and God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down, and there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
This God who created all that is created. This God who blew the breath of life into humankind's soul. This God who, like a mammy bending over her baby, toiling and pouring out love. And in fact, the writer of 1 John says, God is love. This God formed us and created us and did all that he did out of love. This great God who could have done anything. This great God who could have fashioned anything, fashioned you and fashioned me, and in that breath of life blew in not only spirit, but blew in love. All that God did, he did out of love. Out of love, God created the world. Out of love, we were made. This was God's wisdom. Out of love, every flower, every mountain, every snowflake, every flowing stream is made with beauty and love. That's why when we see them, we are drawn to them, because we are made out of the same substance. The essence of God is love. The substance of God is love. And you and I, made in his image and likeness, we are the same thing. We are love, made out of love, just like the world, made out of love by God's hands, made out of love for relationship. The very first thing God says when he brings humankind to life is he blesses them and then says, go forth and multiply. The first commandment is to build communities, is to build families. The first commandment is to be in relationship. God created us for relationship out of love for him, out of love for one another, out of love for self. Out of love, the world is created. Out of love, you are created. Out of love, you are created for relationship. And out of love, God gave us free will. Why? Because God knew that without the gift of free will, we would be nothing but automatons. Without the gift of free will, we could not offer our love without strings, without attachments. It is only out of free will that we can choose to love God or not. Out of love, God gave us this gift of free will that we might be who we choose to be. And out of love, God gave us a pattern. For God so loved the world. And if we were reading that text that Kim read to us so beautifully from the Greek, you would see that for God so loved the world, the word world is cosmos. It's not the planet. There are words for planet. It's not the nations or the people. There are words for that. It's the cosmos. For God so loved all of creation. God loved those who would love him back. God loved those who would not love him back. God so loved the world that he sent us the Son, that through the Son we might be saved. Through the Son we might have a pattern. Jesus comes to us to be our pattern for love. He loved the mighty. That's why the kings in Matthew show up at his birth. He loved the powerful. That's why the Pharisees stayed nearby, even though they stood against him. He loved the weak. That's why he came to those who had been banished from the community. He loved those who were physically and mentally impaired. That's why he shows up in a graveyard and touches the Gerasene demoniac. He loved those even though they would lie on him and scatter, the disciples at the cross. He sent out of love for us that we might have a pattern to love. And I, in my human state, cannot love like Jesus loves. I can see the example. I can see the pattern. But it is not one that I, in my human frailty, can meet. Oh, but I can use it as my guide. I can use it as that thing toward which I aspire. Out of love, he was created to be our elder brother, to be our model, so that we might know how to love. And he was created because of that free will. God knew we would miss the mark, a definition for sin. God knew we would stand in opposition to what it was God asked us to do. God knew we would choose to stand to the left when he invited us to stand to the right. God knew we would turn our back on the things that were of God, made right and good for us, but we would choose another way. God knew that we were faulted and fallible, and we would sin. And out of love, that same Son who came to be the pattern came to be our bridge back, and so that we would ever have a way. No matter how far we strayed, no matter how often we turned our back and walked away, he was sent out of love to be arms stretched wide, to be hand extended, saying, I am here for you always. And nothing, the Apostle Paul tells us, nothing can separate us from the love of God, because Jesus out of love came. Beloved, like Johnson says, this mother figure, this mother creator bending over her child and fashioning and shaping, knowing who the child would become, fashioning and shaping, knowing that it would not be a perfect relationship, but nonetheless poured in love that was unending and without cost to us. This is the love that we had. Our God creates us out of love. This is the love that we have, that we would be called the children of God. This is the love that we have, that God looked and said, you are my beloved. And when I think about God's unending love, when I think about no matter how I behave, no matter what I do, God stands and says, you are still my child. No matter who or where you find yourself, Zena, you are still my child. And I claim you, and I want a relationship with you. And I will stand here calling your name until you hear and turn. All mortal flesh keeps silence, because in the face of that love, what else can I do but keep silent? And so what's my response to that kind of love poured out? What am I to do when this gift is so immense my arms can't begin to encompass it? Paul tells us that we are to owe no one anything except to love. What's my response to God's great love? It is to, in my heart, seek for ways that I might love. Paul tells me in that text that when I love, I fulfill the law. And I'm so grateful, because if you go back and read the Romans 13 text, of which Kim gave us just a part, you will see that there are no words like completely. There are no words like perfectly. There are no words like without fault. Paul says, owe no one anything except to love one another. And in that is the hope that we will try. In that text is the hope that we will step into a space attempting to love, knowing that we will not do it perfectly, knowing that we are human and that we will falter, knowing that in the midst of it, there are going to be moments when I can't reach that goal. But still, I have it as my hope that this love that was poured out to me never ends. And when I am unable, when I face circumstances that I cannot return the love, out of God's love, I might reach back. Because I know that as I love God and as I love other and as I love myself, that I'll practice that love muscle. I will. And that notion of God's love is not new. It extends all the way back to Deuteronomy. But beloved, this out of love, out of God's love, out of God's love, He created us. Out of God's love, He sustains us. Out of God's love, He sends Jesus. This phrase, out of love, has another meaning, because sometimes we are all out of love. We are human. And we cannot help but be at the end of our rope from time to time. We are human, and we can't help to be but be vexed by the things that happen to us. And sometimes we are all out of love because an old wound has been re-triggered by something. Sometimes we are all out of love because we have disappointed someone or someone has disappointed us. Sometimes we're all out of love simply because we're tired and we don't know what else to do, or we're all out of love because we sense fear or rejection or worry, and it saps us of this great store of love that God has given us. Out of love can mean for us all out of love. But it never means that for God. Because you see, whenever I think about me being all out of love, I remember that God has told me, Zena, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And in the Hebrew, that word means a love that has no end, a love that has no beginning, a love that is outside of time. It is a love that has a center but no edges. I have loved you with that kind of love. So daughter or son of God, when you know that the gift you want to give is one of love, but you are all out of love, then the God who created you, the one who Johnson described as that mammy bending and shaping, that one who blew into you not only spirit but love, that same God says, I have loved you in this way, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to recognize that I created you, and I know from time to time you will have an empty cup of love and you have nothing to pour out, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask. I want you to say, as you poured into the first human, won't you so now pour into me kindly, oh God, kindly fill my cup, that I might walk into the world not empty, but that I might ask and you might give, that I might be replenished, not out of a meager store, which is all that I have, but out of the oceans of love that are yours and encapsulated in that everlasting love. Quote from Jeremiah. Beloved, this season may be more than any. There are so many lights and so many exciting moments, but so much of it is thin and veiled. But if you and I who trust and believe in God, if you and I who cling to that understanding that there is this deep well of everlasting love that was blown into me at my birth and stands ready to fill me again, if I can be still enough to pray before the God who loves me to fill my cup and then be still enough to let God do that, then I have something to take into the world. Then I have something to take in the world that the world desperately needs. Oh God, you created all that was created. The sun and the stars, the mountains and the streams. You created everything that is, and you crowned your creation with humankind, and you did so because you were lonely. You wanted to be in relationship with us. You wanted to look back at something that looked like your image and likeness. You wanted to create something that would go out into the world and fill the world with your essence, with love. And you chose us. Oh God, we are incomplete. We are a little cracked and love seeps out. But we come because you are the repairer of the breach. We come because you are that unending supply. We come as you poured into the first human, so now pour into us. Kindly, God, fill our cups, that we might go out into the world and pour out what you've given us into places dry, pour out into places thirsty, pour out into places where your love is needed. Fill us up that we may be sign and symbol of your love wherever we go. Our closing hymn contains this message. Jesus, thou art all compassion. Pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Pour, enter into every trembling heart. Yes, God, with your love, fill our cup. Amen and amen.